Indeed, young voters have a lot to say, but we're also beginning to understand that a number of them, in fact, quite a significant number of them, are simply not going to participate in this year's election. A new survey shows, as I was saying earlier, 4.5 million eligible voters who are young people have no intention of being part of this year's election. Many of them are not even registered voters. So it's not just about this election. You could argue that reflects something of their thinking about the ongoing political process. Young people, of course, make the largest part of our population. And so if we're talking about where the country is going in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, if they feel excluded, if they feel disaffected by the process, what does that mean for our democracy? I've raised the issue around two key concerns. One is we're also finding out that 70% of undergraduates take 7 years to complete their degree, their first degree. What does that say about our education system and what it does to prepare young people for life after schooling? But we also know that, 38.8%, nearly 40% of young people are not able to get employment. Why then should they care about the political process? We are joined now by Pearl Pillay, who's the managing director of Youth Lab. They've basically come out with this youth manifesto, if you will, talking about the concerns of young people that many political parties, it would appear, are simply not addressing. Pearl, a very good morning to you. Thank you for popping out so early.
Good morning. I still have my morning voice on. You'll excuse me. This is still nighttime for me.
Not a morning person.
Never
then.
In a million years.
Talk to me about the process of drafting this youth manifesto and really the motivation behind it.
Right. So when we conceptualized the SA Youth Manifesto, we did it under the premise that generally political party manifesto processes aren't incredibly consultative, right? So they will consult with members of their party, obviously, but it's hard to find political parties actually going to ground and speaking to kind of general population about their thoughts and views. And so when you formulate an election manifesto as a party, we call into question whether it's actually representative of what young people, particularly in the country, want to see. And so we thought, if young people had to write their own manifesto, what would that look like? And so what we did is we went to all 9 provinces. We did a mix of kind of very urban university type spaces. We went to township areas and we went to like very rural areas in some provinces and spoke to young people there about the range of challenges that are facing them, but also how they see interventions happening.
Just before we started our conversation, I spoke to a young person who was talking about specific plans. He says, you've got all these grand ideas, but actually tell us what the plan is.
Yep.
That seems to be part of the frustration of young people.
Yeah, and I think from what we've seen as well during the project was that young people are incredibly frustrated with this kind of political rhetoric that we hear over and over again. So everyone is talking about how, oh, we need to create new jobs and we need to create this million jobs and we'll do that. But no one has given us something concrete that we can say, this is something we can plug into. We're very clear about who the different stakeholders are.
Give me an example of what that would be. Give me an example of what exactly that means.
So for me, I think, so if we look at the big thing right now, which is entrepreneurship, right?
Yeah.
It's not enough to say, we'll just provide funding for smaller businesses, or we'll cut out some of the red tape for smaller businesses.
Yeah.
The environment for entrepreneurship in this country is so difficult. And so even if you have a well-funded entrepreneur who has very little red tape, the kind of small business support, things like access to markets, things like being able to be part of a government value chain, is not stuff that all young businesses particularly have access to. And so it's about opening up the industry, so to speak, right? And so we really need to think about the experiences of young people in thinking about our interventions for them.
Were the political parties interested in your manifesto? Were they part of the process? Are they responding well to it?
They were not part of the process of crafting the manifesto, but when we were done with the project and we did a launch, so we wrote it in the form of a book, we invited all the major political parties. The ANC, the DA, and the IFP showed up, and they were very interested in the process. They all took copies, they engaged with the ideas in the book. All of them did say that they would come back to us and try and get some of the young people that were part of the project on board to their manifesto process, but none of them actually did.
All right. I suppose the question that we must ask is, you know, why should they? Why should these political parties care about the thoughts and voices of young people if young people themselves seem to, you could interpret it as apathy, you could interpret it as really a lack of interest, a lack of, you know, intellectual investment in the political process. Paul, we'll continue our conversation, but I will be taking your calls on 011-883-0702, and I want you to weigh in on some of the issues that young people are facing. There are those who are older who may argue that there's also a sense that many young people feel entitled. You know, many people who are older will argue that, you know, we had it tough in our day and we made things happen and we pulled ourselves by our bootstraps. Are those arguments even relevant? Are they fair? I'll take your thoughts on that at 011-883-0702. How do we get this country moving forward? Because it is the young people who are going to inherit the future we are building today.
First with Bongani Bengwa, live from Wits University, listening to the voices of South Africa's young voters.
All right, taking your calls on 011-883-0702. If you're a student, not necessarily at Wits University, I do want you to also be part of the conversation. We want to know from you, what is it that makes it so difficult for so many young people who enter the tertiary education system to succeed? A new report issued by the Higher Education Department suggests that undergraduate degrees, 70% of them come only after the first 7 years. I mean, that's quite an extraordinary development. What is it about our education system that is failing young people? And I'm going to have an uncomfortable conversation now, because preparing young people for the world out there isn't just about your book smarts, isn't just about your ability to cope at university level. What do I mean? One of the people we were scheduled to speak to, and one of the things we've been trying to do with these outside broadcasts, is not to talk to the usual suspects, is not to talk to the politicians who are going to be, you know, full of platitudes and, you know, political rhetoric, right? To talk to the young people, for example, today, who are at the coalface of the issues we are dealing with. So we invited the Wits SRC president, Wansisanda Mbolegwa, to come and be part of the conversation. She is the representative of the students at this university. We were scheduled to speak to her just after 7 o'clock. She cancelled just before 7. She's not given us an explanation. She just said, oh, my phone was off last night, so I can't come any longer. There are people of my generation who would look at that and say, gosh, if that's the best this generation can offer, we're in serious trouble. Pearl Pillay, thank you very much for staying to be part of the conversation. I mean, is it your sense as a young person that at times we just don't get it, those of us who are older, we just don't get the issues that young people face, because we sometimes look at all of this and we say there is a little bit of entitlement, there is a little bit of you people not getting it?
I don't think there's anything wrong with entitlement, right? So my parents, which I assume is your generation, not calling you old. I'm just...
Oh, wow. Wow. But it's fine. I'll take it. I'll take it. In this context, I'll take it.
You raised us in a world to tell us that the world is ours. And as we grow and we start expecting the world to be ours, then you call us entitled. So there's nothing wrong with being entitled, right? I think in a democracy like ours, where the world has been promised to us, and in a democracy like ours, where we're told consistently what a thriving country this is, how youth are the future, how we're going to lead the world, I don't think it's wrong for us to feel entitled to certain things. I think when entitlement is not backed up by work, by courtesy, by decency, then we have issues. But I don't think that that's an age thing, because I think that cuts across the board. I do think that there is a level of misunderstanding. On both sides, right? I don't think that we're hearing each other enough. So I don't think that the generation and the younger generation are speaking to each other as equals enough to understand, you know, our own perspectives on things. So it's easy for older people to say, yeah, you know, these youth are entitled. And it's easy for us to say, well, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Not chatting to each other enough.
Let's talk about the issue I raised before we went to the ad break. And that is many political parties might just shrug at this youth manifesto and say, well, why should we care? You people are not registered to vote. You're not going to participate. Yeah. So you're not a constituency that we want to speak to, because actually you know, your apathy means you don't deserve our attention.
I mean, I think that would be an interesting thing if parties were to say that, because
they may not say
once
that
they
with their
or
mouths.
To feel that, right? Because yeah. once their current voters die out, it's us. And so if we do, I mean, youth are the biggest constituency in this country, right? We make up demographically the majority of the population, not just in South Africa, but on the continent in general. And if parties have not leveraged that, right? They've not found ways of valuing young people, of including young people in the political space. And that's why they're being rejected. So I wouldn't say that the reason why young people are not registered or not interested in voting is apathy. I think it is a very measured decision. Yeah, I think I think you used the word intellectual investment. I think it's an intellectual divestment from a process that we cannot see ourselves in. I'm one of the young people that's registered to vote, but I won't be voting this year.
You're not voting?
No.
Why aren't you voting?
So this is my second national election that I would have been voting in. I voted in the previous one. And from the work that we've done, the places I've been to in this country, the young people, the thousands of young people we've interacted with, there's a general sense of hopelessness. Hopelessness in our prospects as young people in this country, economically, socially, politically. I look at our political spectrum and I see many sides of the same coin. Incredibly inept leaders who are so divorced from the realities of this country, right? One of the most frequent headlines we see is President Ramaphosa shocked by something.
Yeah.
And so it calls into question, what country do these people live in? And I don't want to be part of that system. I don't want to validate a system that constantly excludes me.
Unemployment is a big factor. 38.8% of young people cannot find jobs, do not have jobs. I mean, that's a powder keg of unrest, of unfulfilled promises, of unfulfilled expectations, as you so eloquently described it a little earlier.
So and the thing about it is that we're still buying into the rhetoric, right? So get a good high school education, come to a university, work really hard, get a degree, and then, you know, life is just going to be great for you. And that's not been the case. So even if you follow the route that people have told you to follow, you'll still find yourself, unless you're incredibly lucky, you'll still find yourself without a job, having to then explore other options. Someone once said on Twitter this week that people were complaining about an 8,000 rand starting salary. And, you know, they were like, what level of entitlement? And education at WITS will cost you about R500,000. And it's not unfair for people to expect that something that you pay that much for must yield value, right? And so that's the problem, is that you have young people who, even if you do everything right, you still won't make it.
All right. Is that the situation? Have we left our young people behind? I'll take your thoughts on that. 011-883-0702. And if the young people are feeling excluded, if they're feeling disaffected, where does the country go? I mean, we've had 25 years to try and get this right. You would have thought we would have been making some progress. Yep. Or is that the wrong idea? I'll take your calls on 011-883-0702. I want to hear from young people. I want to hear from parents. I want to hear from those involved in the education system. If you're a lecturer, if you're a teacher, if you're a writer, do give us a call and weigh in on the conversation. How do we fix our young people's prospects in this country?